Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Nothing says holidays like smoked fish. And no one says smoked fish more clearly than Al the Harbormaster.
I've been smoking fine quality Lake Whitefish, Cisco's, and trout for over 30 years. My use of choice North Country pine and young maple in the smoker creates a smoke product that leaps onto crackers all by itself. I finish each smoking run with just a hint of applewood from the local orchards, so my Harbormaster's Delight run of smoked fish products stands tail fins above the competitions. Make someone happy this season and welcome in the holidays festivities with a spread that includes Al's seasonal smoked bluegill jerky, a party-sized tub of Al's smoked catfish nuggets, and several fillets of smoked superior whitefish. The rich wood smoke flavor of the fillets will have your mouths watering, and the seasonal dipping sauces we offer are also sure to please.
And this holiday season, we've done something special. The Harbormaster is offering a lightly smoked European favorite that we're calling smoked courtly eel.
Blimey!
The royal houses of Europe used to dine on lamprey, and with the Harbormaster cleaning and smoking this courtly eel, all you'll see is the succulent morsel to add to your holiday buffet.
Oh my God.
Do yourselves a favor and pick up several products from Al the Harbormaster before the holidays arrive. You'll be glad you did.
Ho, 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 ho! It's Christmas in Cabin Country with Bajoran and Fudd. Let's go to Cabin Country for Christmas, not far from St. Paul's glowing number one. When it snows a lot, fire up the coffee pot. We'll hear stories until the coffee's gone. Cabin Country at Christmas time, 10,000 lakes all covered with snow. We spend more time indoors pining the great outdoors. Drink your coffee, sit near the fire's glow. We spend more time indoors pining the great outdoors. Drink your coffee and join us on the show.
Well, all right. I thought we'd take a suggestion of a friend of yours, Bjorn, and kind of recollect some of our
absolutely
favorites of Christmases long past.
P-Mac. I like to think of him as our man in the field.
He's an avid listener.
He is.
Great fan. And comes up with a lot of great ideas and suggestions.
Yeah, the idea man. So,
yeah,
holiday season here, and we are looking through the glass at a fire in the chimney as it's, four below tonight?
And decided to opt out of our warm-up cigar. And
right.
Since there wouldn't be any warming up, it...
No, it would be...
Very cold.
Right.
Even though I tried to get a fire going with the chimney, it just...
Meisterburger, yeah.
All for looks.
And then allegedly, what's headed our way, Fudd? The holidays are going to bring us
a big storm.
That's the story. Yeah.
Yeah. People were busy as chipmunks in the grocery stores today.
Weren't they?
It's kind of like, oh my gosh, it's coming. You know, it was a bright, sunny, very cold day today.
Right.
A little bit of a breeze, but they're saying it's coming. So. And plus, it's the kind of the last few days before Christmas shopping.
Right.
So...
I'm assuming you're done, Fudd.
Well, you know, that's one thing. I never feel that I'm done because I'm always... I don't know about you, But ever since I got married, I've always had this paranoia. Did I get enough?
Oh, I'm there right now, but I can I can kind of hear it in my wife's voice of like, no, you got enough. In fact, maybe too much. So care to bring back a few things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but I would say pretty close to being done. And here's the thing. In our family, my wife's birthday is just 4 days after Christmas.
Right.
Something that she grew up, was always the bane of her childhood memories because...
I know this story.
Now, if I haven't mentioned it before, my birthday is like just, it's on the 17th. It's just before Christmas, and I never had an issue of dividing the two.
Right.
There were always two separate celebrations, and it was just fine. Not so much for my wife. So, and especially being at right after Christmas mm-hmm. and right before New Year's, it's like, oh, yeah,
punch.
I mean, she had parties, you know, got the home movies to prove it.
Nice.
But, it's been tougher because the other family members in her family anyways have nice springtime birthdays mm-hmm. and they haven't had a holiday in months. So everybody's excited. Oh, let's get together for brother's birthday or dad's or
right, I suppose,
or, you know, Mother's Day and Father's,
but birthday cake and candles kind of pale in the midst of the green and the red.
Yeah. Oh,
the holly and the ivy.
Yes.
Christmas in Killarney. Yeah. Whatever.
So there should be no green and red on the wrapping paper for her birthday presents. So
and that's Well, my lovely wife as well. It's right after. Welcome to the new year. Happy birthday. You know,
right. Starting off the new year with a new year.
Always likes to say the season of dirty snow and frigid cold. Wow.
Oh,
how do you really feel?
Yep.
Anyway. Yeah, PMAC, God bless you, sir. You'd suggested favorites or...
Look back.
Yes.
To
happy
some of the
wanderers, looking back.
The favorites growing up. And one of his funny suggestions was any sledding accidents that nearly cost you your lives. Do you have any recollection?
Well, ironically, I don't remember any, FUD, but I know you've got one, right?
That is true.
Was it the toothbreaker or what? How did that work?
That is. Yeah, just a few years ago, I had to get my tooth pulled. So maybe in one of the videos, you might see like, is FUD missing a front tooth? Why does he look like a yokel there? What's going on here? Well, that was from a sledding accident day before my seventh birthday.
Wow!
And gosh, I talked about.
I think it has come up, but we could certainly use a seasonal rehab.
I'll keep it brief.
Rehash.
Yes, we had a
hash brown. Sorry, go for it.
Corned beef hash.
Corned beef.
Red flannel hash.
Wow! There you go. Ick.
At any rate, yes, steep hill in the neighborhood, short but steep, and I was heading down, and the neighborhood bully, Jeff, was underneath a piece of plywood that was teeter-tottering over him, and that looked like a precarious situation as I was heading down, so I put out my arm and veered to the right where my brother was pushing up a radio flyer metal frame.
The steel frame.
Yes. And so...
You could steer those.
But he was pushing it up, and as I was heading down, trying to veer away from...
The thug.
From the thug, and, you know, I didn't feel much because my lips were numb. It was a cold day like today.
Right.
It was just when my friends took a look at me and the blood running down my chin. That they went, oh,
happy holidays.
FUD. FUD. So,
FUD
anyway.
Blood. Yeah.
So, yeah, that didn't kill me, but I got, 19 stitches on
Holy
my lower
smokes.
Lip.
Smokes.
And a front tooth broken in half that cost me years of strife. And then finally, it was pulled, and the oral surgeon basically said, I'm sorry, but that's just too small of a gap to refill. So I was given a temporary kind of they call it a flipper, you know, and you can stick it in there.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
But it's just kind of more of a pain in the butt, only when I'm on a Zoom call where I'm looking at myself in the glaring hole in the front of my chompers there.
You gap-toothed yokel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my wife still loves me in spite of it.
Right.
And
so that went all the way back to, because was that a baby tooth that got knocked out?
It wasn't a baby tooth because that would have fallen out and grown in new.
Correct. So, wow. Okay.
So, but yeah, and I had to get a couple of caps every 14 years or so. And then later develop, you know, issues, you know.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, finally yanked. And so now
tugging and a yanking. Wow. Well, if you ever decide to start chewing snus, you're gonna be well set there.
I guess so.
Or whistling. Become a jazz whistler like that goofball on The Tonight Show.
Give that a try.
You never know. Yeah, and so you weren't on a radio flyer steel runner sled. Were you on
one of those plastic tubs?
Okay.
Red plastic tubs. Yep. Laying
the
on my belly.
Yellow handles.
Yes.
Yep. Right, that always break off.
Yeah, and we did all kinds of weird things. We had little you remember the K-Tel mini skis? They're like
remember those?
A foot, 18 inches long. You strapped them to your boots.
Yeah, I had those.
We would make jumps and do all kinds of crazy.
I couldn't get them to work.
Stunts. Well, yeah, we've got whole movies of us like crazy legging it down the hill. You know.
Wow.
But so I mean, the other than just the running into a piece of metal. But not feeling it, it really wasn't as bad as some of the somersaults I've
Sounds
taken.
Sounds pretty awful.
Well, yeah, it wasn't very well. I have a picture to prove it. The next day,
my crackingly
eyes
fun.
Were blackened. You know.
Oh wow!
So big puffy lip and
gone a few rounds.
Looking
with,
set. Yeah.
Yeah. Klitschko or something. Wow, so, that's heavy duty.
So I'm glad that's in the past.
Yeah. Well, I don't think FUD I ever. You know, I was more. It was more like middle school and my. Soccer buddies and I'd strap on the cross-country skis and take off across a local golf course that was also our sledding hill, a series of sledding hills. It's kind of interesting. It was just like one big ridge of 100-foot hills, you know? And yeah, they got moving pretty good, but that became like, well, I don't really know how to downhill ski, but I'm going to pretend I do on cross-country skis.
Right.
And I think it actually made learning how to downhill ski that much easier.
Oh, sure.
It was just like trying to go downhill fast. And I am impressed by those who Nordic ski and can handle those giant hills and then zip along on the skate ski kind of idea with, you know, I'm like, it's mind-boggling and it's great exercise and... They have my
admiration.
Admiration, yes. Yeah. Very, very well placed. We were 13, 14 and kind of like, well, it's all about speed and being stupid. So we're not downhill skiing, but we're going to pretend we are.
Yeah.
And the thing about the cross-country skis is they don't, you know, I mean, a downhill ski, it comes free from your boots.
Yeah.
You wipe out, they're gone.
Right.
Not the case.
Right.
doing that, like the head first, you know, snowplow downhill.
Oh, gosh.
With the crusted ice snow on the top, kind of sand abrading your right. chubby cheek as you roll down the hill. So, yeah, that was more my speed. I always had one of those roll up sheets of plastic.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Kind of sleds.
I had one of those.
It was, and it never, I could never keep the thing. You know,
no,
it was always rolling up and going sideways and sliding out of your
sphere
of influence. Yeah.
You couldn't stay on it.
No.
It's like the theory was, well, it's slippery.
There was a name for those, I'm sure. But I don't know what it would, aside from like really bad idea. And sorry, whoever invented, you know, if you're... One of the 38,000 listening to us, right?
Yeah. right now, yes.
Yeah, right at this moment, I apologize for insulting your invention, but they stink. Anyway.
Yeah.
No, I was a big fan of the red or the blue tub. It was a good sled.
Stayed mostly pointed forward.
Yep. You go airborne in them and stay them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Sit or lie down or kneel. Yeah.
My neighbor had one of those saucers, like Clark Griswold.
Oh, yeah.
You know, spray the bottom with...
Yeah,
with food nonstick additive, and then just rocket through across the highway,
right
into a pole. I don't even remember where he ends up. I've seen the movie about 700 times, and
maybe that's a good segue. Were there any favorite shows growing up? You know, of the plethora of like you know the old claymation.
Oh, I loved them all. I loved them all. And then I was the youngest of three, and my folks were still aficionados of, like, the Jack Benny holiday special,
or
the Williams Brothers with Andy Williams holiday special.
Sure. You know,
that kind of thing. And I just I ate that stuff up with a knife and a fork. I loved it.
Yeah.
I was a huge sap for Santa coming over the hill on an Norelco razor.
Oh, yes. Oh, love that.
That is the greatest thing ever with the little jingle bells music.
Yeah.
Santa's riding a razor.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I love that too.
And the kind of phony, you know, starry sky behind him.
Well, just the track that he made in the snow. You know?
Three razor heads.
Yes.
In kind of a triangle formation. Perhaps an early, you know, it's a UFO. Look at the lights in a triangle. No, it's a razor. Santa's riding a electric razor.
Yeah.
Across the snow. I loved it. I thought it was the greatest thing ever.
Me too.
And, I loved Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I think that was the put one foot in front of another. And the winter warlock who warms his heart at the end and goes normal. And
isn't that narrated by
Fred Astaire?
Fred
Astaire.
And of course,
Rankin Bass.
I think Santa was played by
Glenn Campbell.
Well, it looked like Glenn Campbell.
He did.
Very much so.
Yukon Cornelius.
But it was a young Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah, he had he played that.
Right.
Santa several times.
Wasn't there a penguin in that one, too?
I think so.
Or was that another, was that like a follow-up?
I can't remember.
I don't recall either. I liked Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but I remember thinking, wow, are those other ones, other deer jerks?
Oh, I know.
And Santa was kind of a goon in
too.
Yeah, they were just picking on the poor guy. I'm like, you know.
Just watched it again for some reason. That's the one. If we're going to watch an old Rankin Bass holiday special, it's Rudolph. Even my mom said that she never liked it because it was so punitive.
Snarky. You know, just going after people.
And everybody had this nasally voice. That's my little buck, you know, and Rudolph. And,
right.
And, you know, and he wouldn't be able to ride the sleigh because of his shiny nose.
It's ridiculous. Was that the same one that started with the Burl Ives-esque snowman?
It was him.
Silver
Burl
and
Ives.
Gold. Yeah, good stuff. So the movies themselves, what? I mean, is there a particular holiday film that is all the rage over the decades that really camps out in your backyard? Is there one
I guess White Christmas was the big one.
Bing Crosby.
Danny Kaye.
Rose Clooney. And
Vera.
Yes.
I can't remember her last name.
I can't either. We would occasionally, around this time of year, meet friends at a local kind of artsy-fartsy theater over in Minneapolis and watch White Christmas.
Oh.
I've noticed that it's still going on, but we've all said, three, four times. That's maybe enough now. I know for my in-laws and some of my, you know, Die Hard.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm still told I have to see Die Hard. It's a Christmas film. Like Bruce Willis? Yes, it's a Christmas film. I liked White Christmas or Holiday Inn. Weren't they the same kind of movie, weren't they? I mean, it's kind of the same thing with two different spins.
Sort of. I know that Irving Berlin wrote White Christmas for Holiday Inn, and that was like in the 40s, you know, late 40s. And then around 1954 is when they did White Christmas. And
right.
I know my dad prefers Holiday Inn.
We'll follow the old man. I think it's White Christmas where Danny Kaye sings Choreography.
Oh, yes. Chaps who did taps.
Yeah. Taking a shot at modern
anymore.
Dance.
Yeah.
I am always a sucker for the Alistair Sims Scrooge. Christmas Carol. I loved it. And it went back to being an extremely bored seventh grader waiting around for. We've been to church and now we're dinner's in the oven and the people are about to start showing up and I'm just kind of biding my time and seeing, you know, the clock is just ticking in like cement. It's moving so slow and you're like, come on, let's get things going here. And that was on. You know, it was on one of the local channels. I think it was like, you know, KMSP. Alistair Sims, Scrooge, you know. It was like, oh, okay, I'll watch it. It was black and white, but, you know, a young, what was her name? Hermione Baddeley was Mrs. Cratchit and Tiny Tim. with his wooden cane or his crutch or whatever, you know, and he's looking at this horrifyingly frightening laughing clown thing in a store window. And that was his holiday treat. It was like, you get to stand there and look at all the nice toys you can't afford.
Right.
You poor son of a gun. Yeah, and the thing's laughing and shaking, and it's a clown. And I'm like, you know, even back then, horrifying.
Scared the heck out of you.
Horrifying. And, oh, no. It really makes me smile. I'd like to take that home and watch it come to life at 2 a.m. Cut up the dog. Frightish. God. Frightening. But really good. And talk about a film that could make you feel cold. That one can do it. You know, the old black and white. And
right.
Flying along with the third spirit, you know, the ghost of Christmas future. And then that kind of skeletal hand coming out and pointing at the the gravestone, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah.
That worked for me. I liked it a lot. I liked that one quite a bit. And then the married family, the adult married family, with my kids now as adults as well, and they're suck. They like that one. They like Scrooge a lot. In fact, they like the colorized version of it.
Oh, okay.
But they all like It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh.
Jimmy Stewart. And Donna Reed. Yeah.
I saw it once, and that was enough for me. I don't know. Maybe
Lionel
I should give that
Barrymore.
Right. Should give it more of a chance. I don't know why I was so exclusive with my...
I'm not quite sure why it became... I almost went Stewart on you there myself. I'm not sure why. You know, it was a piece, a fixture of their holidays.
Wow.
So it became one of mine. Yeah, it's Miracle on 34th
Street.
Never seen it.
Me neither.
Never seen it.
Me neither.
Elf. Begrudgingly, I've seen it too many times. You know, my career in middle school, I was like, oh, yeah, we're all going to see Elf a good many times, you know. And it's funny, and it's grown on me. But that one and Christmas Vacation, I'm like, they are, at their core, very funny films.
Yeah.
But after you've seen it for like the 23rd time.
Right.
Shame. Here we go again. This is the film version of S'mores Fun. We're going to get in trouble for that.
Oh, I know.
Oh, they get better.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
It's better with age. Come on.
Communist. Yeah. But,
well, maybe it almost makes me want to segue into the Christmas carols, the songs, because.
Ooh, yes.
Those, every year, it's kind of like refreshing warm blanket to hear those songs again.
Especially when it's 4 below outside.
Well, right.
But, there's a fire in the outdoor fireplace, but it's nice and warm inside.
And it's always nice, but boy, it doesn't take long, especially now since they start the day after Halloween.
Right.
To start playing them ad nauseum.
Right.
And
they
don't let up, so you get sick of them pretty quickly.
Every 35 minutes. What's the one that gets played?
Oh, my gosh, the sleigh ride.
I always wait for your favorite part, Fudd.
Oh,
at the end,
God.
The trumpet imitating the horse.
And
Fudd is somewhere right now.
Oh my God. Throwing
spit and fire.
Eggnog against the window.
Jeez. Why?
You're not
bastards. And I'm trying to remember which one that is. If that's the Percy Faith, or if that's the Eugene Ormandy, or if that's the
I'm not sure.
Fred Waring and his Pennsylvanians, or I don't know.
I don't care for that one at all.
If you've got a favorite.
My daughter Mariah was just asking, what is your favorite Christmas
holiday offering.
Song?
Yeah.
And I suppose...
Wad by Red Flannel Trout.
Red Flannel Trout, yes. Marshmallow
Absolutely.
Wad.
Absolutely.
Don, let's hear some.
Yeah, Don, fire away.
It's a marshmallow wad. It's a marshmallow wad.
I guess I'd have to say that Nat King Cole's album of Christmas songs never really gets old. I can listen to those kind of over and over again. And probably off of that, A Cradle in Bethlehem was my wife's family's favorite song.
Right, right.
So sort of that nostalgic kind of...
Specifically the Christmas song.
Yeah. That one, of course, is overplayed the most. But
it is, but it's that and Andy Williams...
Happy Holidays? Or
yeah, Happy Holidays. It was just like, oh my goodness. They, yeah. You know, they have been played to the point where people can recite right. them in their sleep.
Yeah, but they're still good.
I mean, it's still, I don't want it every day. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to hear it constantly, you know. And if you listen to some of the local purveyors,
yes,
overdoers, if you must, yeah. you know, you're going to hear it like once an hour.
Oh,
that,
yes.
That and Sleigh Ride or whatever the other one is. Yeah, that.
That's what I couldn't understand. Like, that
my
they
goodness.
You rotate the same
stuff. And then songs. And then the infamous All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Carrie.
You know, in fact, there's a good version of that by Red Flannel Trout.
Yeah, hey, here dude. They come again.
Yeah.
Hey, get out of pile.
1, 2, 3, 4, up. Yeah.
I am a youth romancer and live across the green. Our gang is the jolliest that you have ever seen.
I think Red Flannel Trout has had some issues with those overplayed songs. But
I heard that compared the other day by a colleague. They compared it to Adam Sandler and or Weird Al.
Oh,
I was like, I guess that's pretty tall praise.
Yeah,
for many.
Oh, good.
Yeah, not bad. But I loved FUD those Ultra Lounge collections.
Oh yes.
You know, Christmas cocktails.
And right.
All that kind of stuff. Those were a lot of fun. Jackie Gleason, strangely enough, and his orchestra did some, you know, like 50s.
Right.
40s, 50s kind of big band orchestra.
Yeah.
You know, you can just picture the cigarettes glowing in ashtrays and martini right. glasses and Santa hats. And, but, yeah.
Oh, that's...
I don't know. I'm a sap for. I don't know why I like the holly and the ivy.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Christmas in Killarney. I don't. You know, I'm not Irish, but I like it.
I'm not Mele Kalikimaka.
No, I'm good. I don't.
Any other Crosby favorites?
White Christmas. I like it.
Yeah, that's another one. Of those...
Again, it's got that kind of hauntingly melancholic ending.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
I mean, there are a few that, even though they are played over and over again, they have stood that test
right.
of time. But
right.
it's some of them can get away with it,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of them can't. You know, it's
right.
like, oh my gosh, I don't need to hear this again.
But. Yeah, Peggy Lee's "I Like the Sleigh Ride." I don't need that.
Oh no,
ever again. And there's something.
I know you're not going to agree with me on this one, but this was
all
both
right.
my wife's and my own, one of the favorites growing up.
Yes.
Was Johnny Mathis.
Oh, yeah. The enunciation that is Johnny Mathis.
And those throaty tones of Johnny Mathis.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. I love him because I hate him. I hate him because I love him. You know.
Yeah.
And every time I hear the name Johnny Mathis, I think of Curtis Mathis, the old stereo.
Oh.
You know, you used to be able to get TVs and stereos.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Curtis Mathis. I don't know if that was a local company or what the deal was, but I remember we had a Curtis Mathis 8-track tape player.
Oh, boy.
And all kinds of holiday 8-track tapes.
Wow.
And you'd get to the end of track one and... and come back in on track two, you know.
Right.
Yeah. I grew up listening to Boston's Long Time thinking there's a break in the middle of it with this as you switch channels.
Yeah.
No, not really. In fact, I think I got that for holidays one year.
Oh, did you?
Like when I became aware, when Skynet became aware and rock and roll became a thing in my life, that was my first rock album was Boston by Boston. And oh wow, that was a wondrous holiday, FUD. I got that, and a whole bunch of Star Wars color your own posters,
oh boy.
And a bunch of books about geeky stuff I dug, like Big Ten sports and Soviet military hardware. It's like, what in the world? You're a strange youth, sir. But I was heady. I played that Boston album, and then Sabbath. Paranoid and Devo, Are We Not Men? A very curious mix.
Wow.
I think I even had a James Taylor.
What? Yeah,
greatest
hits. Strange mix. Yeah.
And Steve Martin, Let's Get Small. I think it was called Let's Get Small.
Wow.
And I would listen to it over and over and over again and swear to you it got funnier with each listening. And then at some point, finally, it just kind of dropped like a hot rock out of my hand. Yeah, I was like, I'm done now. Huh. It's good.
Hmm.
Comedy records. Nope, don't need them.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, my dad had all these weird records that he got cheap at like a Snyder's or something and 99 cents. And my sisters and I would always kind of wonder aloud, like, where in the world did these come from? And they're not good. The recordings aren't good. They're scratchy. Even perfectly flat LP, and they sounded like they were warped. What in the heck?
So your dad was a fan of the Carolers, speaking of Christmas music.
Yes, get right? that holly away from mine end. Oh, no, that's Red Flannel Trout again.
That's Red
Here
Flannel
we go.
Trout.
Oh, man, just keep coming back.
Bertrand Wences lost the town at his slants. Bertrand Wences won right out of his slants. Bertrand Wences talks about his slants.
Half of it sounded like old French church choir stuff, and then the other half sounded like a poor individual's copy of Perry Como.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Perry Como. How do you feel about Perry Como, Fudd?
Love Perry. That's finally, we've come full circle.
Yes, yes.
I will say right here, my favorite Christmas song of all time is Perry Como's 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. He doesn't even sing.
Yeah.
'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house. And he reads the story.
A reading of the Christmas tale.
And I think only at the very end does he hum. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But for some reason it was like, that one was it. And I forgot all about it. Got distracted by Love Nat King Cole. And of course, Bing Crosby's White Christmas is
right.
A good one. But
well, I think because my folks were both of the vintage, you know, they grew up as World War II was in.
Yeah.
I have a real soft spot in my skull for Vaughn Monroe's Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that just seems like Christmas, listening to the radio on the farm out in the middle of nowhere in the era of the big bands.
Yeah.
Probably colder than all get out. And for right. some reason, everybody liked to claim that they got like 58 feet of snow every holiday.
Yes.
And I remember that. You know, we were like 2.5 feet tall. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get a foot of snow, and it's like, oh, my God. But no, there's just something really like warm tube radio about his voice.
Yeah.
You know, it's got kind of a weird crossover. Is it a Thanksgiving song, or is it a Christmas song, or is it a New Year's song? Who cares?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've swallowed a Harvey Wallbanger. Anyway, he's just, it's just a real rich, kind of deep, tenor, high baritone, and almost a Pied Piper's kind of backup chorale behind him. Muted trumpets. Ah, love it.
One of my mom's favorite performers was Barbara Streisand.
Yes.
And she had a Christmas album.
Did you ever hear her version of Jingle Bells?
Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells. Oh,
my God.
Didn't Second City do do a homage / satire of
probably to Andrea Martin. Just insulted.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We're sorry.
Yes.
But, yeah, I remember thinking, upsot? It's just like, wow. Give me back the Carolers.
Well, Bjorn and I will return in a bit with more of our favorite things about Christmases long, long ago. And we hope you'll enjoy these additional holiday offerings as well. In fact, let's start it off with another favorite Christmas classic by Red Flannel Trout.
Well, look at that, ladies and gentlemen. It's my holiday guest, David Bowie.
No, Bing, it's Steve Landisberg.
Steve Landisberg. Well, I guess you make hay when the sun shines. Mr. Landisberg, if you care to join me on a holiday offering, maybe you know the little drummer boy.
Come, they told me, pa-ra-pa-pa-pum. A newborn king to see, pa-ra-pa-pa-pum.
So fresh fruits become strictly survival fare, pa-pum-pum.
What?
Use a fresh berry substitute.
poisonous, resinous juniper. Stomach upset.
Can it be?
Hum. A newborn king.
Hum.
Long and tiny glands on back. Pum pum pum. Except non-resinous fruits are superior. Pum pum pum. Same as for juniper trees, a tiny bit. Beyond. You know, Steve, I gotta tell you, it's so good to have friends around for the holidays. And to talk about edible wild plants and what they might do to you in the holiday season. A newborn king to see, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum. I've got some PVC, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum. Young flower stalks are tough, so peel off the rind. Eat raw or cooked and roast. Coffee substitutes separate from seeds.
He's on earth. Can it be?
Pum, 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 pum.
Perhaps we'll see.
Drain the pulp. Boiling paste. Finish your oven pie. It's pulpy. Well, that's about all the time we got, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to thank my musical guest, Steve Landisberg. Stopping by on holiday seasons and talking about edible plants with me. We've let this run about as far as it can go. Thanks, Steve. Happy holidays, ladies and gentlemen.
Ah, cool and sunny. And get a load of the breeze coming through those western junipers. Gorgeous.
Agreed. It's just good to finally be here and in one piece. It starts to cool off near Canada, and I wonder every year why we keep going back there.
I hear you quacking, big fella. I'm just beginning to feel my wingtips again. I'm getting too old for this marathon flying kind of stuff. And why do we keep going back? It's like we can't help ourselves.
Almost like we're drawn there by some unseen force. I'm sure we'll do it again this spring, right?
Yeah.
California, here we come. We're in one piece, and we've lost that autumn chub. Lean, mean, and cruising the waters of the California Flyway.
Sunny in 68. Can't complain. Beats the all-nighter over Nebraska. How'd you do on this trip, Dan? You looked to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I only needed to dodge two different shotgun patterns. And of all places, southern Wyoming. Mule deer, whitetails, pronghorn. That I understand in Wyoming. Canvasbacks, hardly a waterfowl state, Wyoming.
What kind of artillery were they unloading on you with?
If I had to guess, I'd say from the report I was shot at with both a 12 and a 16. The one had quite a boom, and I actually felt some of the shot spray past me. The other gun sounded less imposing, and whoever it was, well, let's just say I wasn't too worried about it. Missed me by quite a bit.
Good for you. You heard about Fran, right?
Yes. Oh, how'd it happen?
After a late-nighter, he's trying to rest up and ride the waves on a lake in South Dakota. Long night of flying, pretty early in the trip. He thought he heard a hello from a distant relative, banked around the cattails, and came in low. Took both barrels right in the mush.
Oh, I hope he didn't feel it.
I know. That's tough. At least it wasn't as bad as what went down with Iman. You heard about that fiasco, right?
Jeez, yes. Takes a load of steel shot in the neck and chest and then gets mauled by a hyperactive young retriever. You know, it's bad enough to get hit, but then get chewed up by a half-trained chocolate lab. It's not right. I tell you, it's not right.
I know. We all know. It's the annual risk, right? I mean, we've got to head to warmer waters and we run the risks of those ghillie-suited assassins hanging out in the reeds.
Well, at least we made it. It sure is nice here, though. Warm water, sunshine, lake plants by the acre. Oh, outstanding.
You know, and it would appear no hunters. Not now. It's too late in the season. We can fly in relative safety, and no one should be taking pot shots at us while we swim.
You're right, Stan. They shouldn't be taking pot shots at us. Does that mean they won't?
Let's hope not.
You know, we could always hang with those wood ducks and mallards. Maybe even the bluebills. The guns come out, and we hit the afterburners.
Yeah, not a bad idea. None of those slug-o-beds can keep up with us. They've got to learn to get the let out.
Or the hunters will get the shot in, right?
That's good stuff, Dan. Good stuff. Hey, looky yonder, Dan.
Wild celery. Good eye, Stan. Good eye.
Last one there has a heavy can.
Whether you're considering some midwinter ice fishing or you're taking a trip to warmer climes with your rod and reel, Up North Co. is proud to offer you a series of holiday-themed fishing lures for the 2022-23 season.
While anglers fished their spoons by night,
A holiday twist on the standard spoon lure. This piece of seasonal tackle is not only white, green, and red in its stripe pattern, but it lights up in the dark waters of ice fishing season. This is especially helpful for winter anglers who like to fish after sundown. Add some wax worms or salmon eggs to the treble hook, switch on the light, and ready your landing net. This seasonal offering is a can't-miss for the serious angler.
Do you spear what I spear? Taking a page out of fishing's past, this large neon orange and yellow pike decoy is just what you'll want to jig through your spearing hole this winter. We've also added to this decoy's efficacy by putting a pair of tiny lights in the decoy's head. One blinks red while the other blinks green. Does the light show help with attracting pike or muskellunge? It can't hurt, right?
Not so Silent Night, a segmented sinker lure that mimics a fair-sized minnow. Not So Silent Night emits vibrations and subtle clacking noises as it moves through the cold waters of both lake and river. The jury may be out on whether sound-producing lures actually have an effect on trophy fish, but we're willing to bet that they do. Available in both neon colors and holiday green, white, and red.
Here we come a bucktailing. A seasonal offering based on the traditionally successful bucktail spinner lures, this piece of tackle will work well for both the warmer water trolling trips as well as jigging deep below the ice. A modified jig pattern will get plenty of movement out of the brass spinner spoon, and the holiday red and green bucktail fringe hides a good-sized treble hook that you can add your favorite baits to.
Look for all of your favorite Up Nortco lures for the angler on your holiday list. And remember, spring ice out isn't that far off. Up Nortco will have a bevy of new jigs, top floaters, and bucktail divers ready for your first trips of the fishing year. For all things fishing related, the right way to go is Up Nortco.
The TV continues to report from its stand. Evening news as the dinner hour has passed. The sun is getting lower. Dishes are being done. Mom's over there in a rocking chair reading her book, and Dad's back down on the dock throwing an early evening shiner rig to the game fishes that might prowl Daggett at 5 feet down. Time enough for me to head out to the shed and have a ponder. Bow practice? Double-check the pup. Sharpen some edge tools. Keep working on that Scotch pine stump that lingers on as a side yard reminder that it hasn't completely yet surrendered. The tree might be gone, but the stump soldier's on. Key into padlock. Open the latch maroon-painted particle board door. Step in and turn on the yellow light. I have never understood where Dad got the yellow light bulbs or why he chose the yellow light bulbs, but one of these also serves as the cabin porch light. Truly an odd color choice, but strangely comforting. This shed has never smelled of fuel or fuel oil, even with the vintage Evinrude outboard on its stand in the corner. Farmer relatives' outbuildings and machine sheds always smelled of gas and oil, but not the shed. Everything in its place tightened up. No leaks on our watch. The pump is running. Water. Bathroom or dishes? An appointment with cleanliness always means you jump in Daggett Lake and get camp clean. For no particular reason, I'm deciding to check the insulation bats in the ceilings and walls. Not quite sure why, but I feel as though it's important. No mouse damage. For a tiny outbuilding, this shed is well insulated. The pump. I remember Dad talking about having solid insulation in the shed on the outside chance we were late in shutting down the pump in the fall. Might help in preventing a freeze in the lines if we were a week or two late. That message is relayed to me through memory. Dad saying as much with his pipe clenched between his teeth, fishing hat on his head. Amidst the yellow glow of that light bulb, I begin to see my breath. What? There's a fine layer of frost on the inside of the door. Yeah, I'm definitely seeing my breath. I switch off the light and breathe deeply, unsure of what I'm about to open the door to. I see light under the door at first, morning light, readying myself for drifts of snow as high as the door handle and the need to high jump out of this shed. Not today. It's cold, to be sure. There's snow, about a foot of it. But areas of exposed grass where the winds go unchecked, few and far between, can be seen. There's half a foot of snow on the roof of the cabin. It appears to be locked up tight, all the window shades drawn for the season. It's halfway through the morning and the sun is rising high. Somehow, I'm now out by the highway. How did I get here? No matter.
sound of the wind rattling through the remaining oak, aspen, and maple leaves on the trees, the deep green of the winter pines, and the roar of a large engine can be heard. I step back from the edge of the highway. County Road 3 has gotten some new snow, and here comes a Crow Wing County plow. Looks like a Chevrolet from the late 1950s, early 1960s. Snow is pushing the fresh powder off the road and high into the air as the wind whips up a bit. That is a loud engine. The front grille of the truck is festooned with a pine wreath, red and silver oversized plastic Christmas balls. It's holiday time. The county truck zooms past me and continues down Highway 3. The boxiness of the grille and the cab lets me know that we are somewhere else, somewhere close to early 1960. Missing is that crystal clarity that we hear when the winter temps are seriously below zero. A whiff of exhaust adds to the swirling of light snow in the wake of the plow, and then silence. I'm somehow on a narrow stretch of sunlight, new fallen snow and pavement that stretches between Pine Daggett Road and the lumberyard. I back further off the road and lean on a snow-topped mailbox. Time to walk. I'm not sure how I got here, but I know how to get back to where I belong. Dark oak trunks and velvety gray-barked aspen trunks soak up the winter sunlight. The bright, cold sunshine feels good on my face as I tramp down Pine Daggett Road. There's very little traffic. Okay, there's no traffic. The walk does me good, and the limbs begin to limber up. I get close to the intersection with the lakefront road on Daggett when I see them and hear them both. Sun and shadow combined on three sleds. I can tell one is an Arctic Cat with slightly more streamlined lines. Black chassis and a motor housing. The other two, however, are vintage Bombardier Skidoos, yellow chassis, large headlight, large windscreen, sort of like a pair of giant yellow grasshoppers. None of the three are moving very fast. In fact, I now see that they are all towing a load on a sled behind each of the snow machines. The trio have stopped their machines and left them idling. They're each getting off the seat of their ride and walking back through the fresh snow to check the tie-downs on their sleds. They're far enough away that I can't hear what they're saying, but they are clearly laughing and backslapping each other. Hunting jackets and buffalo plaid red and brimmed hats with faux fur ear flaps. Just like the silhouettes on the signs keeping drivers aware of snow machines. These three could have been models for those highway signs. Somewhere, Fudd Klugman was grinning. A short piece of rope connects each machine with a large steel or plastic sled. On each sled, a pine of some sort. From where I stand, it appears that one of the Skidoos is pulling a balsam fir, maybe about 6 feet tall. The Arctic Cat, he has what looks to be a blue spruce. The other Bombardier is pulling a sled that has a Scotch pine tied down behind it. The gent in the blue and black buffalo cap pulls a plaid thermos out of a small knapsack he has slung over his shoulders. I see steam coming from that open thermos, and three men holding travel mugs up near their faces. Probably hot coffee. Damn, that sounds good right now. Maybe it's hot chocolate, or Uncle Walter's favorite, hot chocolate with a stiff shot of snowshoe in it. As it is around 9:30 in the morning, I'm guessing the trio is enjoying hot coffee. Not that Walter would have cared what time it was if there was snowshoe. Throw a few more sticks in that Franklin stove, he'd say. Pour me out another 3 fingers of snowshoe. Walter. Cups now empty, the three snow pilots get back on their machines. War whoop or two, and hands back in chopper's mitts wave goodbye to each other. The sleds start heading in different directions, each pulling what can only be the holiday tree behind them. My boots keep stirring up the new powder as I reach the intersection and start heading down towards the fire numbers. I'm walking alongside the snow machine tracks in the snow. Sun is high. The jays are screeching in the woods. I round the gradual curve around the slough and see the beaver's lodge through the tree trunks. Lots of paw prints. A full house. Hope they're staying warm. And now I'm back in the shed. I feel a distinct humidity in the air that wasn't there as the snow flew and the plow cleared the highway. I open the door of the shed, which no longer sports a coating frost. It's August. It's twilight. It's hot. Dad has his open bale rod and reel in his hands as he walks up towards the shed. Get the lights. Lock it up. Time to call it a day. The yellow light switches off and a master lock clicks on a steel latch. Time to head in for the night. Head in and have a tall glass of water.
Santa's little helper.
Cabin Country Creamery and Charcuterie is chomping at the bit to bring another well-fed and glistening holiday season to you and yours. Consider the following gift packs from your age-old friends at the Four Seas.
Away in a strip mall, this mid-sized selection gift box brings back the glitter and aromas of olden days. Featuring a 10-ounce signature beef summertime link, a 7-ounce original dry salami, 5-ounce sweet and chunky turkey blubber sausage, 4-ounce brick of spring-heeled jack blend cheese, a 6-ounce round of extra-smoked Gouda cheese, a 4-ounce slab of smooth and sharp cheddar and bourbon blend, 5 ounces of hot pepper and gizzards jam, a 4-ounce burnt onion mustard, 4 ounces of bayberry kraut and sesame nut mix, 15 ounces of cranberry pistachio caltrops, 2 ounces light chocolate salt pork caramels, 2 ounces dark chocolate Queen Anne cherry meltaways, and 3 liters specially generic birch beer.
Your complete holiday in a box. What's inside this gift shipping? 7 ounces of signature beef lips and such grinder sausage. 7 ounces original dry gulch salami. 7 ounces of Reaper pepper weeping salami. 4 ounce block jalapeno sleestack blend cheese. A 4 ounce block of bearded missionary blend cheese. 6 ounce crock smoked wine and Gouda cold pack blend. 1 bottle fruity walnut foaming wine beverage. 5 ounce corn and peanut chutney. 3-ounce jelly mix. Candy selections may spark in unlit rooms. 3.5 milk septic s'more bar. Holiday serving tray. Bromo.
Kerplop. Perfect for systemic roadway dinners during this time of festive galas. About this gift box, you get 2 7-ounce signature Queen's Atmosphere summer sausages, a 10-ounce critical difference summer link, 10 ounces of sweet vehicular turkey blood sausage, 10 ounces of Cabin Time obligatory cheddar blend, a 10-ounce jalapeno mustache blend cold pack, 6 ounces of girlfriend Gouda blend wheel, a 4-ounce 3-cheese funeral onion blend block, a 6-ounce rotating Yoast blend-o-wheel, 2.5 ounces holy Anglican pineapple mustard, 2.5 ounces of noblesse oblige ale mustard muscle rub, and 3 ounces of grow mints. So pleasant on the breath, or put in water and watch them grow to 5 times their original size.
Remember, friends, that Cabin Country Creamery and Charcuterie are not only proud of this year's offerings, they offer the annual Yule price comparison. If you can find a similar assemblage in handsome gift packaging from another cheese and meat house, we'll match their price. If ordered within 5 weeks of the holidays, your recipient will almost certainly receive their food gift in time for the season's enjoyment. One last thing to set your minds at ease. Almost all of the Four Seas cheese and meat offerings are shelf-stable without excessive refrigeration requirements. You can feel safe about placing a holiday mail order with Cabin Country Creamery and Charcuterie. Thinking, you're significantly younger than your two older sisters.
Very much so.
So you were sort of the...
caboose.
The happy accident, if we can call it that.
Yeah.
So I wonder what that was kind of like, A, for you growing up being the youngest kid by several years. Mm-hmm. And then like, when you found out that Santa Claus wasn't who you thought he was.
Well, I don't think I ever really bought it.
Really?
No.
Huh.
It was just, you know, I grew up in a house with a furnace.
Yeah.
We didn't have a chimney that had a, you know, came into the fireplace. No, we went to a gas furnace, and I was like, we had to write a list of questions in first grade, and I had a first grade teacher who was kind of bemused and, wow, deep thinker for a 7-year-old, you know. If Santa comes down our chimney, he'll incinerate in the furnace. How's that possible, you know? Stuff like that. And I knew at one point there was a guy running down the street, you know, all decked out with his bag on his back, and I was like, that's my neighbor. That's Mr. Carlson. You know, I wish, but I don't buy it. You know,
huh.
But it didn't mean I didn't like the baked goods and the,
right.
You know, every tabletop had a jar of spiced gumdrops on it, or like old rock solid hard candy. Remember those little hard candy, the boiled sweets for Christmas? They'd be like red around the edge, white on the inside with like a little, I don't know how they made that little present out of hard candy. You know, it's like they all had patterns.
It's kind of like
the raspberry, the filled raspberries, the ribbon candy that would cut your tongue to shreds.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or the peanut butter hard candies, again, that would cut your tongue to shreds.
Yes.
It's like all this stuff was like, enjoy in moderation. You will lacerate your tongue as you eat this stuff. But
yeah,
loved it. Peanut brittle. A fan? Were you ever a fan? Fuck.
Not a fan of peanut brittle and not a fan of the ribbon candy.
I loved them both.
My dad and my brothers loved that.
How about the white almond bark with the crushed candy canes in it?
I didn't really get into that till much later.
Right.
You know, I didn't like anything with, almond bark. That doesn't mean that there are almonds in it. Well, I guess there
are. Yeah, it's hard to say. It's more of a white chocolate kind of thing. You know?
I love that now. White chocolate now.
It's the best.
But
it's the best.
I just remember getting those. They still have them, the plastic candy cane containers filled with M&Ms, red.
Oh, yeah.
Green M&Ms.
Or actually, we got the knockoffs. Green and red wrapped. The mini kisses or the mini, not the mini, they were regular size, but you'd get the kind of made smaller so they'd fit in the candy cane peanut butter cups.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Right?
Those are
good. And now, I mean, I remember going to somebody's house as an old fogey, a doddering oldster, you know, to pick up somebody and bring them home for the holidays. And there'd been a big old holiday party at this college domicile, and lots of these really supersized kind of plastic holiday canes that were filled with little shot glass bottles of, you know, like Fireball, cinnamon whiskey, you know, all this kind of, Sambuca, the Italian anise liqueur, you know, all that. I'm like, what? Wait, huh? You know, once upon a time in my life, all I want for Christmas is 700 of those candy canes full of shot-sized portions. To hell with it. Give me a homewrecker, you know. But, wow. Those days are long, long gone. But I was like, wow, this. And what surprised me more was that they were still full. You got a house full of college. How are these things not, you know, strewn about with caps off? Anyway. Mind-boggling. But, where were you with the old, like, Hickory Farms or Swiss Colony holiday packs?
Well,
here they come through the mail, these sort of dried-out cakes and paprika-rolled cheese food product logs. Logs and loaves
The Girlfriend Gouda cheese? Wait,
that was a Cabin Country charcuterie. You know, we don't want a lawsuit here, fuck. Take it easy.
Right, sorry about that.
Yeah, yeah. Mustache mustard. I don't remember. Well, yeah, there were all kinds of things coming at you that were kind of strange.
That was good.
Roadkill too. What was it? Turkey blubber.
we'll have to run their
commercial again. Set it up, will you? I know they're one of this year's sponsors. But
yes, indeed.
And we love everything they've ever done.
Please
don't turn your back on us. Cabin Country Charcuterie. But it was, you know, and you get the catalogs.
Oh, yeah.
You get the catalogs. And it was like, okay, it's 10 below, and the neighbors can't come out to play street hockey because it's too stinking cold. I don't want to be out there. So I'm going to sit around and read these Hickory Farms or Swiss Colony.
All the food you can.
Catalogs. Yeah. Wow.
Order.
How about this one? It's, you know, 17 boxes and it's only $300. You mean that's too expensive? Okay. The fizzing walnut wine drink. No? Not so much. Okay, the little chocolate bottles full of liqueur, you know? No? Can't have that either. All right. Well. Yeah, I don't know. I like the hard candy kind of raspberries.
Oh, yeah.
That had the goo in the center.
Right, those are good. Yeah,
they were not bad. Or the Christmas nougats that looked like, I think Brock's might have made them, and they looked like They were kind of peppermint.
Yeah.
Peppermint flavored. They had a little Christmas tree on them and the red and white stripes on the outside.
Chewy?
Yeah, chewy. Yes. Yeah,
caramelly?
Very chewy. And if they got really old, they could cut your gums. Right. All this stuff would cut your tongue, cut your gums.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like the sweet flavor of holiday treats and your own type O positive blood running down your throat. Enjoy. You know, how old? You've dug that out of the toe of your stocking yeah. sometime in late March. And you're
maybe to be fun.
Lacerations.
Next year when you're hanging it up.
Yes.
Oh, look, there's one left.
My God, a circus peanut. You know?
Wow. Well, let's see. We covered candy and songs.
How about the holiday baked goods, Foot? What was your big favorite for the holidays?
Always made a lot of cookies, you know.
Yep.
Sugar
refrigerator
cookies.
Cookies that you cut out. And
yeah.
The obese Santa and the...
Oh, right.
Wrinkly star, the kind of crinkle cut star, the tater tot version.
We made it from scratch. And then didn't
it was hard not to just like house half that bowl
of
dough.
Of the dough. Yeah.
Delicious.
It was so good.
Indeed. And the raw egg, I mean, you're not supposed to be, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't care.
Well, I didn't either, but I
my mom had a pretty heavy hand too with the almond extract.
Ooh.
So I was like, ooh, it's kind of boozy, but it's not. And nutty and sweet and uncooked. Oh, love it. Yeah. I would have been the guy that would have like gone to, let's just all sit around and watch Santa Claus is Coming to Town and peel that plastic wrapper off a, you know, slice and bake chocolate chip cookie dough tube. Right. I'll just eat this thing. Put it in a hot dog, a wiener roll. Put it in a hot dog bun for me. I'll throw the bun away and just swallow this. Like a python, you know?
Right.
Look at that cylinder going down your bodice. Yeah. Oh, love it. Love it. So you were, anything else come to mind? Where did you stand with fruitcake, Foot?
We didn't have much.
Heavy.
It was always like some old member of the family would send us one.
Fruitcake!
And it would sit at the bottom of the refrigerator without being touched.
Right.
And it's fruitcake, but it just looks like smushed garbage, you know, like in a...
Desiccate into a...
Into a
nut
wok.
Loaf.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a wad.
How about,
harbinger of evil tidings to come, I loved the boozy, heavy, almost... going to sink through the earth's crust. It's so heavy. Fruitcake. I really enjoy and for me, that, and then plum pudding. I was like, Dickens. And the Old English, you know, with an E at the end of both. Oldy Englishy Christmas and the plum pudding, and let's light it on fire. And
oh, yeah.
There aren't actually plums in it, Bjorn. It's, it's just a name they give. Oh, okay. Well, but I loved it. And gingerbread. I remember thinking... God, I don't even like... Why would you want to make a gingerbread house? Well, look at all the candy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now I love this stuff.
Yeah.
But back then... And I can't have it now. It's, you know, you can't eat it. But I found gluten-free gingerbread recipes.
Well,
I found gluten-free fruitcake recipes, Fudd.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Wow, how
can they even do that? Resplendent with glass-aid candy. I don't know. I love it. It's got a heavy... Again, the heavy hand with the Watkins... or Durkee, rum extract, you know, you won't get loaded off this stuff, but it tastes kind of like butterscotch.
Got a punch to it.
You know, and all my family members are like, oh, nobody likes this, Dad. Why do you make it? And then I'm like, look at you over there in the corner, housing all the freaking, put that, that was mine. You know, that's gluten free. You're not even supposed to touch that. I thought you didn't like this. You know, my wife's family, it's Pfeffernuss, a little German Pfeffernuss, those kind of anise, peppery, German, I think it literally translates into pepper nuts.
Ah.
Pfeffernuss, yeah, but that became a job this year, was to find more hard target search, because my brother-in-law was like, they're gone. Where'd they all go? You know, for me, I'm like, well, I can find them. What I can't find is the Glade plugins.
Oh.
Or the Christmas tree scented plugins. They're like gone inside a half an hour.
Huh.
Just can't find them. So somebody somewhere should send me in a bunch of those.
Glade?
Here you go, Bjorn, you lummox. You know, how did you not see these? And we've got extras. Here you go. Yeah. And I'm the sucker too, Fudd. I don't know about you, but I remove all the pump soaps from the various sinks around our house this time of year and replace them all with peppermint or, sugared berry. Yeah, again, really? Sugar plum, yeah, pump soap. I'm just like, oh, I'm nice. Such a sap. I love this stuff. That was definitely my dad's favorite holiday was Christmas. And my mom's, I'm going to guess, the same. But she was, a church organist and a choir director. Very busy time of year for her.
Yeah.
We always had the spiced gumdrops sitting around and the hard candies. And I wasn't quite sure if that was for the grandparents or who it was for, because it was like, these aren't good. I don't like the hard candies. They don't really taste like, it's sentimental and sappy, but I grew up in a Scandinavian household, Fudd, and so it was lots of sugared lefse, rosettes, krumkaka, all this stuff that was, really kind of nondescript and vanilla, but good, and in some cases deep fried and covered in powdered sugar, and absolutely loved it. But I don't know when the love for fruitcake came, I don't know, but.
Well, it's funny. Not until I married my wife 21 years ago. Almost 20 years ago. Her family's Norwegian, and they had, that was the first time I ever had plum pudding, and they set it aflame.
Right, the oldie Englishy. The
oldie Englishy.
Yeah.
Purchased from a shoppie or homemade-y.
Yes, I don't know.
But actually, I didn't care for it.
I thought it was too
gelatinous and thick and molasses-y.
Molasses pudding kind of cake.
But I didn't grow up with it and establish it as a great tradition. But that and the krumkaka and lefse.
How about this then? If you were a child of the 70s, as was I, do you remember the frozen treats you'd get out of the ice cream section?
Oh,
they'd look like it's green ice cream in the shape of a holiday tree with hot tamales in it.
Yeah,
yeah, that kind of thing.
I do remember that.
Candy canes, the ice cream candy canes,
right?
Oh, but you can cut it with a fork and it's mint ice cream. I love that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The snowmen, they too had the lot of cinnamon kind of hot little tamale
candies,
as the eyes.
Right,
And
do remember those.
Oh, loved them. Absolutely loved them. Fudd, there is that magical time. Our youth, our kids are now adults, basically.
Yeah.
And so gone is that time when, the Darth Vader voice transformer is going to make somebody just scream with glee and run out the front door, down the street, barefoot, screaming through a Darth Vader mask. I am your father. But in Fudd's world, when you think back on all the holidays past, we'll start with the best.
Uh-huh.
What was the best gift you remember getting as a young person where you're like, wow, this was for real. This one... Holy cow.
The thing that I enjoyed getting, it was for Christmas Eve one night. We'd go to my dad's mom's, my grandma's.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who it was, maybe who gave it to me, but I got the $6 Million Man action figure.
Oh, wow.
And it
Steve Austin.
And he wore kind of like a NASA jumpsuit or something or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
The only two things I remember about it, there was a magnifying glass through the back of his head.
Yeah, because he had the replacement eyeball.
Yeah, and you're supposed to be
bionic,
able to see, far away. But what was I thought was weird about it, even as a kid, and I was little, But when you look through it, it was like looking at the opposite end of binoculars.
Okay.
So everything looked really far away.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, but in the show, he's
zooming in on stuff.
On things and can
see him. Telescopic eyeball.
This is wrong, but I still love that. And it also came with this little, backpack, which had a crystal radio in it. Which was, you could tune in to local radio stations
without batteries.
London. Yeah. And I remember on the way home on that one Christmas Eve night, I plugged it in. There was had like one little earphone, earbud, flesh colored, tiny intertwined wires that went from this white backpack unit into your ear, and I heard a Christmas song. And I remember saying to my mom in the car, "Mom, they're playing Christmas music," and she said, "Well, they better be." So that was probably my favoriteest toy. Christmas
ever.
Present I ever got,
Ah, super cool.
How about for yourself?
I was going to ask, did you ever get a bunch of models? as a kid? Like fighter planes or cars?
We did cars.
Battleships or
you must have gotten a few of those.
Oh, my dad was a Navy mechanic, so it was all World War II era. Yeah, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah, fighter planes, bombers, that kind of stuff. Then he'd hang them from the ceiling of my bedroom.
Oh, boy.
With fishing string.
Excellent.
So you couldn't actually see the string, and it looked like there were like 9, 10 different planes hovering. Flying around. Yeah, and then we'd be like whipping Nerf balls at each other and stuff. And hitting the models, which would then fall and break.
Right. Oh, shoot.
We're going to have to fix that. I think, you know, it's a toss-up, FUD. Somewhere around first, second grade, I was gifted a King Arthur's castle with all kinds of little, instead of army men, you got knights.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really cool.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. And it had a dungeon.
Wow.
The whole bit, you know. It was like, yeah, I don't know where they got it. I was like, that's really cool, but limited in scope.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as of every toy you ever got as a young person made out of plastic, eventually it broke.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, right.
Yeah, you did some damage to it, and there was no repair. But somewhere round about middle to older era elementary school,
mm-hmm.
I became enamored at the downtown Sears on University. Because they had a big, it was still, the company was going strong, and they had a huge toy department. And I just remember seeing an HO gauge Tyco train and being like, I gotta have one of those.
Mm-hmm.
That's the coolest. Where's this been all my life? And I remember asking for it, and then it was on my list. And, you know, back in the day where you watched the TV and every third toy they advertised, you'd run out and throw it on your Christmas list. And if you got 1/10 of it, you were thrilled. But
I didn't get all 250 things I asked for because I come from a median income suburban family.
But I remember there was a box under the tree that had a curiously familiar shape.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not to be toyed with, no pun intended. I ripped part of the packaging away. I was like, Tyco, oh my God. And then ran out and grabbed the scotch tape and taped it back together, you know.
Yeah. Like, wow.
Didn't even feel bad about it. Like, you knew before you got it. And you're like, oh, crap, now I know what. No, I didn't care.
Wow.
And I think it came with a Santa Fe.
Oh,
had
boy.
A streamliner engine, and I was
Ooh,
just
nice.
Like, this is the coolest thing. Oh my God. Yeah, so that was probably it. It was either King Arthur's castle or the Tyco HO. You know, I didn't want the O gauge, the big Lionel
right.
chunky, like, oh my God, it's so big you could almost ride the thing. You know?
Yeah.
No, I like the little, not N, that's really small.
Really tiny. Yeah.
And I don't know if those existed when I was being given that gift of an HO gauge, but loved it. Heinz pickle car, box car, and some dairy I'd never heard of. It was a tanker car and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, this is so cool.
Well, I know too, you asked about the worst.
Other direction.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I guess I am just that sort of beaming holiday goofball that loved everything I got. I mean, you know what? Here, okay, I've got one. And I remember, pestering my parents. I was the guy that saw a lot of TV because I was the last of three kids by a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
And if we weren't playing football, baseball, hockey, basketball, something, building a fort out of snow outside, and it was just too cold, or I was just like, well, we got 45 minutes before dinner, so I'm just going to sit here and watch TV. I remember seeing all those Ronco, KTEL, Popeil kind of ads
right.
and thinking that the glass and bottle cutter looked so cool. We could make all these drinking glasses out of all those bottles of wine my folks never drink.
Right.
You know, and if they did, it was like the big gallon and a half Gallo Rhine. I was like, wow, that's one heck of a stein you're going to be hoisting.
Yeah.
But and then they didn't fit anyway, you know.
Yeah.
But I remember finally getting that, pestering my parents about, it sure would be cool. And, and then getting it and realizing it didn't work.
Oh, my.
And maybe some people's did, but mine sure didn't, you know. Huh. So just, cutting around the edge of this wine bottle for what seemed like an eternity. And then just kind of tap it with this rod and the top will pop off. And then here's the fine gauge sandpaper. You can sand down the edges and, again, not lacerate your lips and tongue as you drink from it. Never cut through a darn thing. And it ended up in the basement and then in pieces and then in the trash. And through no fault of their own. I mean, it was very kind of them to gift that, you know. But I just remember thinking, wow, I said, you did not live up to your promise. Mm. Sad but true. Now, the pocket fisherman, another story, right? Yeah. Mr. Microphone or the chia head, you know, grow a head of hair on.
Oh, right, on, right.
You know, Bozo the Clown. All those were great. But, that glass and bottle cutter just didn't.
Major disappointment.
It let me down. Mm. It did. How about yourself, Fudd?
I'm having a hard time coming up with.
We were both such joyful youth.
I guess so.
We loved everything we got.
I mean, you know, I probably didn't. You know, there were things like clothes and things.
Yeah.
That weren't as fun as gadgets and toys. Yeah. But,
dress clothes.
It's like.
Well, there's a wedding coming up.
And,
You're
going to need that.
Yeah, neat.
It's like, oh, boy. That time of year, I get
contractual obligation kind of stuff. Yeah. I want more. Boxcars for my Tyco HOV. Yeah. There was a time where aunts and uncles all banded together under the grandparents' roof, you know, out in Kensington or out in Glenwood or wherever, Starbuck. And all these families that never saw cousins, lots of cousins, lots and lots of cousins. And I just remember late in the game, God bless her, grandma trying to make some kind of like yarn doll. for one of my cousin's kids. So this is like a second cousin, you know?
Yeah.
This is right up there with the puppy paw story, the moonshine. So a pretty intelligent and well-spoken, like five-year-old, you know? and apparently this thing kind of got out of hand on grandma, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Life-size ventriloquist dummy. No. Right. But, my second cousin opening this gift, and there's this almost, you know, six-foot-tall yarn. and just remember hearing this five-year-old saying, "What a monstrosity." Right in front of grandma. I was like, oh. Well. Well played for a five-year-old. What a monstrosity. I was like, I love it. I love everything about it.
Whoa,
that's
wow.
Outstanding. Now let's have grandma some more ribbon candy.
Too hurt by
cut
it.
Our tongues. Yeah, wow, you know. Poor grandma. She was the one that was always like, it's 3 p.m, start buttering lefse. We've got 17 pounds of the stuff. In fact, you made it all. Go ahead and butter it and sugar it. Stuff nobody wants to do, you'll end up. Yeah, she always ended up washing the dishes, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Grandma and dad in the kitchen washing dishes.
Yikes.
I'd get the, you know, hey, Bjorn, how about you get out there and...
I'm asleep on the couch with the sports book you bought me. Right. Really, I swear.
I can't move.
I'm watching Perry Como's Christmas special, Dad. Right. Well, maybe that's a good place to...
I think so.
...take a pause as we're keen on saying. It's
fun reminiscing.
It has. It has.
Holidays past.
You know, ornaments are shining and the lights are twinkling. And
sounds
like
good.
I'd like to thank you all for hanging in there.
Yeah.
Let's try that again. Thank you all for hanging in there with us. And or Hank
Indeed.
You all. I don't know. And
right.
Hank,
thank you.
Don,
thank
Ed,
you.
Lloyd.
Well,
yeah, good stuff. But I hope the holiday season's going as well for you as it is for us. And thank you.
Thanks so much.
Patty Mack for some great suggestions here. And sit back and put another log on the fire and refill your coffee mug. It's the holiday season, by God.
Happy holidays and happy new year.
Indeed.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.